welcome to a deeper look in the book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will be continuing his series on 2 Kings chapter 21 to 23. So get close to your radio and listen now as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. takes a deeper look in the book.
Come on, Houston, you can say it one time. Look at God.
And so read that when you get home, the rest of his story, Manasseh. So he started bad, but he ended good. Yeah, yeah. And that lets us know that God is a God of another chance. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But then you come to a man by the name of Josias. You begin to read about his reign in chapter 22. Now look at what the Bible says. Josiah, verse 1, was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. All right, so he was about how old when he died? If he was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 39 years. Because, see, the king back then, you reigned until somebody killed you. Or until you died of normal death, like in David's case. That's the thing. One of those such things as democracy, we're going to vote every 4 years like we vote over here. No, once you become king, you king for life. That's why over in those Middle East countries, that's why Saddafi, what his name? Gaddafi. Omar Gaddafi. That's why he's fighting till the death. Because he said, I'm king. I'm supposed to stay this way until I die. What is they talking about? Trying to throw me off my throne. You see what I'm saying? They're changing the rules midstream. He said, oh, no, not under my watch. Change it after I die. Amen. So we're going back in Bible days. He dodging bombs and bullets now. Bless his heart. Amen. All right. So, but Josiah, he reigned 31 years. Verse 2 says, and he did that which was, what did he do, class? He done right in whose sight? In sight of the Lord, and walked in all the ways of David his father, and turned not aside to the right or to the left. Why is it so important to have good role models? Because we always following somebody. Even when a person tell you, I ain't following no man. They just don't know the man that they following, but they following. Amen. And whenever somebody say that they can't follow, they follow. They just following the wrong person. Hello? God made you to follow. That's why it's so important that we put before our children good role models so that they will walk in the pathway of righteousness. Now, so we see Josiah, he began to reign, and you can look at 2 Chronicles 34 when you get time, and you'll find that he got saved 8 years later. When he was 16, he got saved. And once he got saved, he began to make some changes in the nation. Now, when did I say it was the best time to make changes? Amen. Normally, once you take office, you need to make some changes. But not always. If you ain't saved, you need to get saved first. Hello, somebody. This boy, he was just kind of had it on cruise control, just living the good life of the king, you know, the rich and famous. But then when he got saved at 8 years old, look at what he started doing. The Bible says, and it came to pass in his 18th year, so 10 years later, King Josiah, that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Anazahah, the son of Mesullah, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keeper of the doors has gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hands of the doers of the work that has the oversight of the house of the Lord. And let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house. What did this boy start doing once he got saved? He began to start fixing the church house. Why? Because sin tied a church up. How many of you know sin ties a church up? When you see a church that's tore up from the floor up, that's because of sin. When you see chaos in the church, that's because of sin. When you see folks can't get along in the church, that's because of sin. When you see the church is running down, boards falling off the building, bricks falling all off the building, leaks in the building, lights, no lights on in the building, it's all because of sin. And particularly when folks can come to a building that's dilapidated, actually need to be condemned, and they go home and the house that they stay in look like a mansion. They got carpet on the floor. Oh, they got silk and satin sheets and stuff. Oh, they got some fine china and stuff. And they riding in the best cars, and the house of the Lord done fell down. That's because of sin. They putting themselves ahead of the Lord. And that's what that boy was doing until he got saved. All of us, we put ourselves first until we get saved. We act like we the king. Until we get saved, you act like you the queen. Until you get saved. I deserve better than this. Wait a minute, you already got something. Because you didn't have nothing, you couldn't say better. Better is always a comparative term. You being selfish with yourself itself. That's what that's all about. But that's the American way. But the American way is not God's way. The American dream. What is the American dream? See, they done gave you a dream. We should have God's dream. Bible said in the last days, the old men's going to dream dreams. Young men's going to have some visions. You young fellas, you need to be having some visions for the Lord. Don't just be following the American dream, because the American dream is a lie. American dream, talking about getting a house, is going to take you 30 years to pay for. And the house ain't even worth a third of what you pay for. A house that you done bought for $100,000, when you end up paying for it, you done paid $300,000. And 30 years later, the house is falling down. You got to move out the house and get another one. That's a ripoff. God's way to get the men together. And they could build a house. We'll build your house, and after we finish building your house, then we're going to go and build his house. And after we finish building his house, we're going to come together and build his house. That's community. Common unity. And even though all them houses look like a shotgun house, at least everybody's happy in the house. Everybody's house look the same. You got to count the house. See, I live at the sixth house. See, you stopped at the fourth house. I live in this because all the houses are the same, because they're getting the material from the same man down there. Hello, somebody. But see, we want to be better than everybody else. Yeah. So I don't want a house like they got. I don't want a two-story house like they got. I'm going to get me a three. Yeah. See, they ain't never seen nothing like what I'm getting ready to get. Trying to be different. I'm just saying the American dream is a lie. No, it's not. It's a nightmare. It is. Once you get into, that's why our world is in the condition it's in today. You see how the world, how we done fixed it? We done fixed it where it takes two income to make it, to get the American dream. Then once you get the American dream, they take one of the person's jobs. Now it's a nightmare. How are we going to pay these bills? Oh, gee, how are we going to do this? You see, what I'm turning into a nightmare now. So you may have to go to McDonald's and then leave McDonald's and go over to Burger King. Amen. Work in the day at McDonald's, Burger King at night. You sure having it your way. Yes, sir. But do you see how we are following lies rather than the truth? And particularly God's people. We done got very materialistic God's people. No, no. If you're going to follow Jesus, you actually need to start unpacking. As a matter of fact, when you get ready to go on a trip, flying, first bag, fly free. If you got some more bags, and you know what they done started doing now, even on that first bag, it's got to be under 50 pounds. I said, Lord, have mercy. It's almost, and then if you on the heavy side, they're going to charge you for two seats. That ain't right. You see what I'm saying? And I don't know who sized them lit seats anyway, because I'm kind of cramped up myself. You see what I'm saying? Oh, my goodness. It's almost like riding a horse. But notice, one of the ways, listen. What is a sign that a person done got saved? What is a sign that a person done got saved? Huh? What is an outward sign that a person done got saved? An outward sign. I already done told you the answer, but I just want to see, can you throw it back at me? Their house is no longer the most important thing. God's house now become the most important house in their life. Oh, see, I knew the American dream had you. That's why we had to put the pin and bust that American dream, because we're running after the wrong house. See, it used to be black folks was happy to go to a church that really looked nice. They could stay in a shack, but they didn't want their church to be a shack. And when you come over to their house, they say, have you saw my church, the church I go to? Come on, let me show you my church. And they go find Deacon Blow, and Deacon Blow, take them down to the church and open up the house of the Lord, and they go in there, and they see the chandelier, because that was the only house in the community that had chandeliers. And look at this carpet. Ooh-wee. Only house in the community that had carpet. You see? And they felt good, because they church. You see what I'm saying? And they getting ready to buy some new pews, child. Because we getting ready to get rid of these benches. We getting ready to get some that's got backs on them. Oh, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Have y'all ever seen in third world countries, they just have benches with no back? That's how it used to be in churches. Go look at Roots. Y'all done forgot your roots. Hello, somebody. Amen. Now, the church I was raised in, we had, you know, benches with the back and the front, but we had those boards. We had boards, had probably about six boards there, about three or four boards there for your back. And these boards down here, if you set the wrong way, or somebody set beside you or something, they would pinch you. Oh, yeah. And you had to be careful. You couldn't just slide because it was nails and stuff. So when somebody came and got ready to sit down, you had to kind of set up a little bit and kind of hop along there. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Some folk will come into a church like this here, and they say, man, look at here. Look at, man, they got cushioned backs on the back of the pew. Amen. That's what all of us said when we got up in here, didn't we? Yes, we did. Wasn't this pretty? Isn't it still pretty? That's a testimony of your love for God. Hello, somebody. That's a testimony of your love for God. That means that somebody had to give up something in order for this church to look this pretty and stay this pretty. Amen. They still look at you. It's pretty. Matter of fact, it looked prettier than opening day. Amen. It shows. Look how pretty that looks up there. That looks pretty up there. Hey, don't that look pretty up there? And do you know a lot of folks didn't even know we had an up there? They didn't even know we had a second floor. A lot of folks, when they drive up to this building, don't look like it's a two-story building. Hello, somebody. God is good. But that's a testimony and a reflection of your love for God. That boy, once he got saved, he says, let's fix the church. Look, just think about your attitude before and after look. Because all of us had the before and the after look. Before you got saved, you had your only tea party. Afternoon at 3, very small, 3 guests and all, I, myself and me. Myself ate up the sandwiches and I drunk up the tea. It was also I who ate the pie and they passed the cake to me. Oh, yeah, you had your own little party. But once you got saved, you start giving more. And let me tell you something. One of the signs that you're growing in your faith is you keep giving more. You give more. You may start at giving, you know, you didn't give no tithe, but you gave $10. And then you started giving a little bit more, $20. Then you say, well, they say a tithe is 10, I make 10%. Well, I make $400, so that means I need to give 40. So you start giving 40. But then you find out the church needs some money for the building fund. So you give 40 and you give another $10 on top of that. And then you find out that they need something else for the children choir or something. And so you say, let me just donate a little bit of money into that. And you just keep giving more and more and more until you done went beyond 10%, beyond 15%, 20%. You just keep giving and giving and giving. And how many of you know that you can make it more on 90% than trying to make it on a curse 100%? You can make it on a blessed 75% than a curse 100%. You can say, I ain't giving God nothing. All I'm going to give is just a dollar. God say, all right, I'll just curse the rest. And the thing about when you come in church and you start playing church with God's money, you'll be cursed with a curse. It's a double curse. Why is that? Because God gave the money in order to further his kingdom, in order to build his kingdom, not to build your mansion. Haggai, turn right quick, Haggai, chapter 1, Haggai come to my mind. That's almost at the end of the Old Testament. Matter of fact, you can just go to the end of the Old Testament and then just start going back. Going back to the end is Malachi. Then right before Malachi is Zechariah. Then right after Zechariah is Haggai. Look at what the Bible says here. I want y'all to help me now. Are you feeling me, by the way? Is everybody there? Now, if you're still having trouble, let the table of content be your friend. Just turn to the table of content. And let the table of content be your friend. It'll help you out. It'll tell you the page number. Look at what the Bible say. Look here what the Bible say. Haggai chapter 1. Look what he says, verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. How do you know you in sin? One of the signs that God's people is in sin is they put God's work off. They say, it ain't time. It don't look like it's time. It ain't time. Oh, I'm going to do that later on. No, no. It's always time to do God's work right now. Yeah. Verse 3, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in cedar houses, and this house lie waste? Wow. Now therefore does it.
Bread of life sent down from the Lord.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.